ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 3, text 21. Yadyadacharati shrishtas tatad evetaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Okay. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Sanghita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. It's a truism to say that leaders have got responsibility. The bigger the post, the bigger the responsibility, and the bigger the undertaking, the bigger the responsibility. To be a mother and in charge of two children is a serious responsibility. Responsibility means serious. To be a king and in charge of a whole country with millions of people is a much bigger responsibility. Now, Krishna consciousness, leading in Krishna consciousness means the biggest responsibility. Although in worldly terms, this movement is not recognized as being very important, but it is more important than anything else. Krishna consciousness is more important than anything else. That was stating that was the turning point in the argument between Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Abhay Charan Day, as he was known at that point, when this young man had the temerity to argue with this much older than him spiritual leader who was saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message needs to be preached all over the world. And this young man said, well, first of all, India needs to get independence, because who will listen to a slave nation? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Krishna consciousness is so important it cannot wait for any political adjustment. Krishna consciousness is more important than anything. So all of you are leaders in Krishna consciousness, not very big leaders. You're not GBCs or sannyasis or head of big international famous projects, but you're leaders. And just like even the mother of two children has got a big responsibility, and she's held responsible if she doesn't do it properly. If the children are misbehaved, the father and the mother will be blamed. It's your responsibility to train them properly. So what to speak of taking leadership in Krishna consciousness? Srila Prabhupada often said that we want to create perfect men. By create, he didn't mean create ex nihilo, from nothing. Or he didn't mean create, just like you bring some arms and legs from some dead bodies and stick them together and put an electric shock or make a Frankenstein. That wasn't his idea. His idea was to, out of the raw material of whoever was willing to take to Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada wanted to train them to be perfect persons. And by perfect person, Srila Prabhupada meant one who was chanting Hare Krishna regularly, following the four regulated principles, and living, imbibing the message of Krishna consciousness and living it. And although Srila Prabhupada didn't, he didn't quote the Anya Abhilashita Shunyam verse very much. He quoted the Ahaitukiya Pratihata, which is the same import, purport. So that was expected of his leaders. He didn't tell on them all the time, you have to be sincere. He just expected them to be as he was, fully dedicated to spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sadhus are respected, because at least in this country, the general tendency of people is to respect sadhus. That's the reason why we're wearing this this color cloth, so that people will respect us, so that we can deliver them that which they really need. We do, of course, hear of sadhus who are not sadhus, and people become very disgusted with them. I'm not specifically talking about within ISKCON, but people who take the role of a sadhu, and especially if they mix up with the opposite sex, it's very much disliked by the people of India, because they know that the respect is mainly because of that. You can be a Buddhist or a Mayavadi or a whatever you may be, but if you're a monk, even in the Catholic Church, if you're a priest, you're not supposed to have any intimate dealings with the opposite sex. So leader means great responsibility. And it might not be responsibility in terms of what the materialistic people see as responsibility, that having big properties and lots of money to oversee. It may be also, but the main responsibility is for people's spiritual lives. And if there's a little problem with the leader, spiritual leader, there'll be a big problem with the followers. Because just for instance, if the leader is a little bit egoistic, then the followers will see that, many of them, not all of them, they may not even interpret it as being egoistic, but they'll take it themselves that this is the way we should be. And yad yad acharati shreshtas tatadeveta rojanaha. So if the sadhu does 99.9% everything perfect, there are those kind of followers who'll see the 0.1% and say, ah, that's the essence. The 0.1% which should not be done. And they'll say, yes, this is what we should do. This is the real essence of our guru's teachings. Just like in Bangladesh, there was one devotee with me and said that I was getting on his case for not getting up in the morning. He said, well, Prabhupada's father used to rise late. Prabhupada said, my father used to rise a little late. His father would do puja until late in the night, and he would rise a little late, and among all the many instructions of Srila Prabhupada to rise early, the example, Srila Prabhupada didn't really rise early. He never really went to sleep, hardly. I mean, you can't say really rising at 12:30 in the morning is rising early. It's before early. It's the time to go to sleep at the latest. So, just in all of Prabhupada's teachings, he found that. And that became his Mahavakya for his activities. So if the leader has a little problem, that will be exacerbated in the followers, and it'll make a big mess. So Srila Prabhupada said, we want perfect men to lead society. The followers are already conditioned, so unless they see the perfect example, then they won't know what it means to be a devotee. What is the ideal to follow? They're already conditioned. So leaders, they can expect strong words. We often hear about how Prabhupada was so kind and this and that, but I'm listening now to many remembrances of Srila Prabhupada as part of my background for preparing this Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada book. Mostly the lady devotees, it's very sentimental actually. Nice, but very sentimental. And you'll find that Srila Prabhupada, he was very soft with them and almost took the role of a child with them, and or treating them as children. They'd give him some presents, and Prabhupada would open it as if he was, really interested what's in there, and this and that. He might have been. Who can know the mind of a great devotee? But the heavy sauce, as they used to call it, the heavy chastisement, that was for the big leaders. You could practically measure how much one is a big leader by how much they got chastised. Except Bhavananda, he said, Prabhupada never chastised me. Which is surprising, because he's a heavy guy himself. He dished it out himself. So the leaders can expect strong words, just like Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyame ehi etadutam. I'm speaking this to you because you're my friend. So you can speak to someone who is very dedicated to you, and then they're not going to take offense. First thing Krishna says to Arjuna, kutastvam kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarya drishtamasvagam. Akirti Karamaju, Klaibyang Masma. Oh no, not that word again. He's saying you're just like a eunuch. Oh no. You already had to spend 1 year pretending to be a eunuch. And oh no. Only Krishna could get away with it, because he was so. Otherwise Arjuna would have been very offended, if any, just to remind him, hey, I remember you were dancing. What a sambhavitasya chakirti marana dati richate. And Arjuna might think, I've already been through that. I've already been disrespected. But I had to stay alive so I could. Arjuna had to become a eunuch, and then he might think, well, better to die. But he had to stay alive so he could come to the battle. But when he came to the battle, he became a eunuch again. That's what Krishna is saying to him. You want to go back and be Annala again? Go on, get on your sari and start dancing. It was very insulting to Arjuna, but Arjuna, he also was a bit tough with Krishna, saying, why are you talking this? Was that the beginning of chapter 3? Vyamashrena eva, what is it? Vyamashrena eva? Vakyena, Budim Moy, say, hey, yeah, you're supposed to be my guru and you're just messing my intelligence up, speaking all. So he say one thing, they say another thing. What kind of guru are you? So Arjuna was also, he wasn't such an easy disciple also, but they were friends also, after all. So anyway, the point is that Prabhupada gives strong words and to the leaders, because they little off course and they'll mislead others very badly. So Srila Prabhupada, he, after the early days of the movement, naturally he couldn't directly deal with hundreds and thousands of disciples, so he mostly kept the leaders with him, and he'd have different GBC men come and stay with him for 1 month or 2 months at a time to be his secretary, just so they could be with Srila Prabhupada. So they were, at any moment, Srila Prabhupada could just chastise them over something, anything, small things. And devotees, they were ready to follow that because they were disciples. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have to say again and again to his followers, just follow the authority, do what I say. There are some leaders who do like that because people are not inclined to follow what they say. And they just it's my position, you do what I say, that's all. So it is tough, and you're always in the spotlight. People see what you do, right and wrong, especially if you do wrong. Sanyasira alpochidra sarva loke gai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Even a slight defect in a sannyasi will be publicized widely. So it's something like that for all of you. And there are heavy responsibilities. Not everyone can take it. You can send a mudha, donkey-like person, to 10 years of management seminars and he still wouldn't be able to manage how to take a bath himself. Some people don't have what it takes to be a leader. And others do. Others, they relish that, just like that same verse, Sambhai, Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yudhamidrisha. Who wants to go for a fight now? Anyone? You're from Macedonia, maybe. Maybe you. No, maybe not anyone else. But there's some, they like that, they relish that. They brings out the best in them. That's what they're meant for. Yesterday we were talking on that, Niyatam Kuru Karma Twam. It's your work. You have to do it. You're meant for fighting. You fight. Also, those who have that ability and propensity to lead, they relish that responsibility. It brings out the best in them. If they just had to sit in the temple all day and chant Hare Krishna, they wouldn't feel so satisfied, because just like Arjuna, he wasn't sitting with a bead bag. He had another kind of bag with arrows in it. That was his way to serve Krishna. But at the same time, we have to see that we don't get so preoccupied with issues that we forget our bead bag. This Mao Zedong, one of the great demons of the 20th century, one of his famous sayings, maybe his most famous saying. Anyone? Power comes from a gun. And look, what that looks like. I'm holding a gun. What about, looks a bit like your hand in the bead bag also, right? So power comes from the bead bag. Not exactly, because I have to go out and get the best bead bag. But power comes from Krishna. That's why Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where do you get your power from? I went and did so many years of penance, and I got power by twisting Brahma's arm, practically, one of his eight arms. And you didn't do anything, and you're more powerful than me because you don't give a damn. Everyone in the universe is afraid of me, and you just don't give a damn. Where do you get your power from? And he said, ah, same place that you got your power from Vishnu. Ah, no, but it's a fact. A power comes from Krishna. And Krishna has given this process to link with him. Bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness. We have to remember that in between seeing the bills and dealing with people and all that, it's mama nusmara yudhyacha. The mama nusmara comes first. That's the main thing. Yudhya cha. No, otherwise there are so many people fighting. There are so many people managing. There are so many expert managers. Mukesh Ambani, he's the one who's doing well out of the two, right? There's another. So he expert manager, no doubt. He's also, at least his wife's into Krishna consciousness, this devotees of Srinathji, but that's not the, they're not famous for that. They're not managing an ISKCON temple. I wonder if he could manage an ISKCON temple. Can manage a huge business, but I wonder if he could manage an ISKCON temple. It's a different thing altogether. But Krishna consciousness, we always have to remember we're here to serve Krishna and we're here to be Krishna conscious. And no doubt there's so many things on our mind, but we have to chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna, and when we pray to Krishna when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and dancing kirtan, very important thing. First instruction for all leaders. What's the most important thing a leader has to do every day? What's the first thing he has to do every day? Get up in the morning. Which is sometimes difficult because the issues, they may be up late for various reasons, and then things on the mind, can't sleep very deeply. But get up and dance in kirtan, because yadyadacharati shreshtas tadadeve tarojana. You dance, the others will dance. If you don't dance, they won't dance. If they don't dance, then you won't please Krishna to the same extent. So that's it. Don't be so much there. You're in the kirtan and you're just thinking this and this and that. The thing with dancing, when you dance, you can't remember all those things. So at least for a little bit of time every day, you dance in kirtan. Then just forget all those things. And then you'll remember Krishna. And then everything becomes easy. Srila Prabhupada said management is, gave very easy, gave a formula. He said how management will be very easy. He said you make sure all the devotees rise for Mangal Aarti, chant 16 rounds, follow the program, follow four regulated principles, management will be easy. That was Srila Prabhupada's management formula. Krishna conscious. If everyone's Krishna conscious, then they'll want to cooperate for serving Krishna. And if they're not Krishna conscious, then it's very difficult to manage them. There is another very efficient way to manage temples, which is to pay everyone. But what's the point? Then it's just a farce and a show. So make a point to be in dancing in kirtan every day. Important. Okay, so what does it mean to be a good leader in Krishna consciousness? Well, it's not a difficult thing to understand. Just like I cited the name of Mukesh Ambani. How do we know that he's a good leader in business? Because his business is expanding. People who work for him are not happy, but that's not a consideration in business. Although they say it is in the management books, but the only reason they want the people to be happy is so that they work more and produce more. They don't give a damn about the people, but they have to pretend they are and provide them all facilities so they don't go away. And they train a man and then he goes away and this and that. But basically the business people are... how successful you are among the business community. You ask any Agarwal or Bansal or whatever. They don't look at each other and see, oh, are his employees very happy? They don't give a damn. Kidna labhua. That's the only thing. Money is the bottom line. So in Krishna consciousness, yeah, we can know a good leader when things are expanding. projects, books distributed, people coming. Book distribution going on, yeah. But we have to see the quality also. The good leadership means that devotees are developing under them. Good leadership in Krishna consciousness means after some time, you retire from your job and give it to someone else who's competent and trained and go on and do something else. In the beginning of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada was, there wasn't any such term at the time. He was the temple president and the treasurer and the cook and absolutely everything. And gradually gave the cooking to Kirtanananda and the treasury to Brahmananda. And then he left and went to San Francisco and told Brahmananda, then you give the classes. And then Brahmananda was giving the classes. And they went on. So that a good leader is one who can get things on the right track and come to a stage where he doesn't need to manage the things that he's doing because he's trained others to do that. Doesn't necessarily mean he'll leave the situation, but he can expand in another way, expand the preaching in the area or just go somewhere else and do something else. So the real test is quality of devotee. It's relatively easy, I'm not saying it's easy, but relatively easy to gather a large number of people. But to bring someone to the point of dedicating their life in Krishna's service is not such an easy thing. And only someone who's doing that himself can do that, as Srila Prabhupada said. If someone is, we just read in the purport, if someone is smoking, they can't teach others not to smoke. So if someone is themselves cultivating material desires, then they can't inspire or train or lead others to do otherwise. So what are we out for? Well, ekas chandras tamohanti. Kim natara sahasrashah, Srila Prabhupada would quote, Chanakya. We're looking for that moon among the stars. Diamond selling, not glass bead selling. That's another example that Srila Prabhupada gave. And of course, we want everyone in the world to chant Hare Krishna. But there have to be good leaders. Otherwise, everything will become a mess. As happened just after the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many upper sampradayas came out because the leaders were not properly in line. So then the basis again is Shravan Kirtan. If leaders are hearing and chanting, then if they're enthusiastic for that, then others will be also. Of course, there's so much work to do and it's unlimited. What has to be done in the various activities for managing centers and developing preaching in various areas. But we have to set time aside every day for quality hearing and chanting. And then the quality of devotees will come up. And again, we don't necessarily measure the quality of devotees in how much they can do visibly, but their dedication and taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And we do want results also in preaching. Srila Prabhupada is actually a very result-oriented person. He wanted to see how the book distributed. He pushed devotees to distribute books. It was only by his heavy pushing that those three centers, Bombay, Vrindavan, and Mayapur, got built. Otherwise, it wasn't possible. Unless Prabhupada had really, really pushed, there wouldn't be those centers. And then ISKCON wouldn't be, you wouldn't all be here, because that really established our movement in India. Up to that time, actually, Indian devotees, apart from Bangladeshi refugees, they started to join around 1977. And Bangladesh refugees, they'd also be devotees, but they weren't coming wholly and solely for Krishna consciousness. There were others also prior to that, few. Srila Prabhupada often lamented, transcendental lamentation, that why are the more educated class of Indians not joined? So they came when there's some establishment, some institution, something solid. Then they started to join. So bringing men up means they may go ahead of us also. If we're attached to being the leader, then we can't make others leaders and bring them up. We should be happy to see others go past us, just like Srila Prabhupada said that. The father is, he may be in competition with others, but he's happy to see his son become more than him. And then we have to see, of course, who's possible to train, because not even someone may be a very good devotee, but again, they don't necessarily have that inherent ability to take on a leadership role. That was Satsarup Maharaj himself said then, and anyone could understand, he wasn't cut out to be a leader, but Srila Prabhupada made him, by nature, he wasn't like that. He's more introspective type. And nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada from an early time made him temple president and then a GBC member, editor of Back to Godhead, which was an important role in the movement at the time, and he said that you may not be very good in leading, but you do what I say. And he also said, Satsarup Maharaj would quote Srila Prabhupada paraphrasing him, that leader means leader in hearing and chanting. But some worldly ability is required also, just as is like the electricity bill is to be paid, and you don't pay it because anyway we're chanting Hare Krishna. Then the electricity gets cut off. That's not Krishna consciousness. I'm chanting. I'm just chanting. And you just chant, but then don't take the role of a leader. A leader has to be materially expert also. Especially you're all, I think it's probably true for all of you that, not all of you, but for most of you, in those who are doing direct leadership, leading temples, that you're dealing with money that you never had in your materialistic life. Bharat, you were dealing with people who are rich, semi-rich, and all that kind of thing. But for most of us, myself included, I never had so much money that I was responsible for. And for many of us, it may be much, much more than we had. And that's a big responsibility. Money, as we know, is a Kalisthana. The personality of Kali takes his refuge where there is gold, and the money is representative of gold. So one has to be very careful not to become influenced by Kali. And Kali may not manifest only as greed for money, but also even more insidiously. Do you know what that word means? Insidious. More insidiously. The prestige that comes with money. Why do people drive Mercedes-Benz cars when a car which is one-tenth the price will do, especially if you're in a big city where it's mostly traffic jams. Actually, a Maruti would be better, easier to park. Then why do people spend so much money for a prestige? Just to show, I've got this much money that I can buy a car like this. I remember seeing in Dhaka in Bangladesh, this is the 1980s, there were very few cars at that time. And almost all the cars, except those for the Western charitable organizations, which it's just a scam, these charitable organizations, or for big government offices, they were all second-hand, reconditioned Japanese cars. You know, some piece of junk that no one would bother with, but except in Bangladesh. And you see the people sitting in their car with their driver and looking like so proud because I've got a car. And the other people are going on the rickshaw. And they didn't go any faster than the rickshaw. They're all caught in the traffic jam with the rickshaws. But they're in a car, some piece of junk car. And even the Mercedes is proper. Even the Rolls Royce is just some tin can anyway. But it's money brings prestige. And that's one reason why Srila Prabhupada, or one of the main reasons why Srila Prabhupada built those big temples, just to see what a prestigious movement it is, because Indians are crazy about prestige. You might not have noticed. You might not have noticed, just like a fish in the water doesn't notice the water. But it's really a big thing in India, my prestige. I was just hearing yesterday Brahmananda speaking, how he, on the construction site in Vrindavan for the Krishna Balaram temple, he caught a construction worker stealing his gamcha. Some skinny guy, and then Brahmananda. You could fit 10 Bhaktivikas Swamis in one Brahmananda. And he wrestled him and got him down to the ground and beat him. And then the construction work stopped and they were all doing a hartal and this and that, and Prabhupada said, what's going on? And Brahmananda had to confess to him. And Prabhupada, Prabhupada didn't get angry, he had a look of disgust on his face. He said, you're stopping the construction. So Prabhupada told him, you go find that man, bow down to him and touch his feet. That's the solution. So Brahmananda did. And his prestige is back, and they all went on working. That's all. So we had to be very, very careful. And here in ISKCON in India, prestige is a big thing, isn't it? It's a very big consideration. You all know how it's more crazy than the Kamis, it seems, among some. It's how much I'm respected. There's one leader in Tamil Nadu who seems to hate me and my disciples, because one day some years ago, he was in some program and I didn't call him on the stage, right? And ever since then, he's hated us, isn't it? He was expecting to get some recognition. I should have called him on the stage, I guess. But anyway, what can you do? So not to be bewildered by money, and also to be very careful, because where there's money, there are thieves, even for a gamcha, there may be a thief, maybe devotees who are thieves. There's a saying that good locks keep honest men honest. Someone may be honest, but if he has the opportunity, he thinks, oh, I can get away with that. Money's there. No one can see. They may be tempted, even though he may not plot to steal money, on the spur of the moment may be tempted. a leader in Krishna consciousness shouldn't be so much of a sadhu that he thinks monetary matters are below my dignity. Should be. Srila Prabhupada is very concerned about money matters, especially in India, because he saw his disciples were being cheated, and that's one reason. So a devotee, even though one should not be personally attached to money, but at the same time understand its usefulness in Krishna's service, and then you have to think how to bring the money, how to spend it properly, and if you happen to get extra money, not to just become loose, and then, and then we can buy this and we can buy that, and always remember it's Krishna's. So be very careful, knowing that money attracts corruption. And we have to be very expert in dealing with people. I'm just saying that we have to be very careful with money. But there, often we see that the devotees who are very good in collecting funds, they're often themselves quite materialistic. Not in all cases. The most expert when Srila Prabhupada was present in India was Giriraj Swami, who was expert at collecting funds, and he had no interest in accumulating money for himself. He came from a very rich family, and even Srila Prabhupada had to tell him to dress in better clothes and don't just wear these Hawaii chapels, because you're a leader, you should look a little respectful, Srila Prabhupada had to tell him. So it's not necessarily, but in many cases we see that devotees are very good at collecting funds, they're mixing with materialistic people, and they know how to talk in a way that will appeal to the materialistic people on their materialistic level of consciousness. So you see, Giriraj Maharaj, he didn't preach like that. He didn't butter them up, so to speak. Or that wasn't his main method of preaching. So such devotees, what can we do? We can encourage them for hearing and chanting. Often they don't have much interest in that. Then what do you do? Well, I can cite Basu Ghosh Prabhu, often says to me, and I'm sure to others, cites the example of Garga Muni. Don't mind Garga Muni, if by very small chance you happen to hear this. But he wasn't the most interested in hearing and chanting, let's put it like that. Another way of putting it was that he was never seen in any morning program. But he was a good organizer and good at collecting funds. Srila Prabhupada called him Garga Money. And Prabhupada took the service, and Srila Prabhupada also gave that example that if a cow gives milk, then sometimes you have to tolerate some kicking. He often gave that. He often gave that example. But still, we should try to uplift devotees to the platform of hearing and chanting. That's, if we see in the Nectar of Instruction, there are the five levels of spiritual advancement. The Shravana Dasha, the level of when one's able to hear, then the spiritual advancement can go very nicely. When we can actually hear the message of Gita and Bhagavatam as it is. We have the book Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we have to accept it as it is. And then our spiritual advancement and that of others will go very nicely. So there are different kinds of devotees. We can't expect everyone to be on the topmost platform, but we have to keep on trying to bring them to that level. As Srila Prabhupada did, keep good men around us. That's very helpful. It's very unhealthy if we see someone who's just the leader, and then all the others around are just like ants. They're treated like that. But a good leader, like I said, they'll keep intelligent people around them and take their opinion also in various matters. Even Srila Prabhupada would ask the opinion of his disciples on managerial matters. Although he himself was most expert in management. He did that also, it would seem, to train others also, to make them think, what do you do in this situation? It's not good to be a one-man show, as if you know everything, and then you make mistakes, and then you can't admit your mistakes, and you're always right. It's very, very unhealthy. Very, very unhealthy. It's crazy to think, well, everything I do is perfect, and I don't need to take advice from anyone. But it's not uncommon. And you can probably get away with it more in Krishna consciousness, because then, yeah, definitely if you're working for Mukesh Ambani and you're in charge of some factory somewhere, and then you can't make mistakes. One or two, everyone makes mistakes, but you have to be very careful. That's why you have to consult others. In ISKCON, in India, you can get away with all kinds of things. Temple president, especially in some remote spot, and you're the king of your little castle. So we should avoid that syndrome, which is one reason for having these meetings and having the Shravan Kirtan camps, and you can all come together, hear and chant together. Don't think that these camps are just for some neophytes, but it's for you also. We're all neophytes. and we associate with each other. The devotees, if they, because you're leaders, so the itara janaha we have in this verse, they'll be very inspired if they all see you chanting and dancing together. But if you don't, and you don't show interest, they'd also see that. And they'll think that when you become more advanced, then you don't have to hear from your guru, and it's not important. So whatever you do, good or bad, it will be seen. You may be busy in this and that. Everyone's busy. But you have to take some time out for hearing and chanting. So I request, as long as I'm doing these camps and as long as I'm here in this world and I'm able to speak, that you please come. I'll be happy to see you all. Everyone else will be happy to see you also. Personal agendas. our agenda or our aim in life, our udesha or laksha or whatever, should be simply to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. That's all. Maybe in various ways, by farms or by book distribution or by managing a center, whatever it may be. That's all. Selfless. If we have any personal agenda, then again, a little bit. If there's a little bit of personal agenda, that will be seen, and that will hinder our advancement, and it will hinder the advancement of those under us also, those we are leading. Again, this respect, it's a big thing. To be respected. You might be respectable, just like Srila Prabhupada gives here in the word for word. Where is that? Gotcha. He gives that Shrishtaha, a respectable leader. You may be respectable, just like Mukesh Ambani is respectable for his abilities and what he's doing. He's respectable. So he may be respectable, materially very expert, we may be. Or we may not even be materially expert, but somehow or other we're expert enough to get into some kind of position. But generally those who are within some position in ISKCON, they have some material ability, some kind of material ability also. And some very expert. So, but that, again, it's not the main criterion. It's required to be materially competent, if not expert, at least competent. But if one is materially competent but spiritually lacking, they're not going to be a good spiritual leader. So a spiritual leader has to be or leader in a preaching movement like this, then has to be spiritually competent and materially competent. And of the two, the spiritually competent is it most important? Well, there have to be spiritual leaders. But Srila Prabhupada also said in India we could hire some managers if necessary. So you can imagine for managing a restaurant and our book production and this and that, as long as there's someone to oversee them, it doesn't require spiritual competence to manage a restaurant. To make it spiritual and serve a spiritual function, it does require spiritual competence. But simply to manage a restaurant doesn't require spiritual competence. So Srila Prabhupada said we could even hire people. And we generally do in our bigger centers, in accounts and some departments. In Juhu we'll find the whole cleaning, not of the temple, but of the hotel section. The hotel part, the guest house part is, a lot of that is done. And the supervisor used to be that Meena Mataji, I don't know if she's still there. So it's good to be materially expert, but spiritual competence is required. And proper focus. We're all here to serve. I'm not here to be respected. It is important, because if people disrespect a leader, then you can't manage anything. If devotees are arguing and they're insolent, then you can't manage anything. But if you behave in such a way they argue and they're insolent, then that's your fault also. But even though there's so many complex issues to deal with, actually not all the time, but it's inevitable in this world. Otherwise, to manage a temple in many ways, it shouldn't be that difficult. There's a regular routine. People get up in the morning and you purchase some vegetables, and there are different departments in a bigger center to see all these things. And there are festivals, and it's fairly straightforward. It's not like being in a business where you're in competition with others and you always have to be ahead of the others. That when it comes to preaching, then we have something like that. But actually managing the temple day to day, if you have experienced devotees, and then it should go on. And from time to time there may be some crisis, that some devotee has a heart attack and then you have to take them to hospital or something like that. But it shouldn't be that difficult. Anyway, what I'm getting at here is that at heart, a devotee, even though he has to deal with so many different things and has to take a role of being in charge, Ishvara Bhav, Kshatriya, that he's supposed to have the feeling, I'm in charge here. But the basic quality of a Vaishnava is Sharalata, simplicity. Simplicity, humility. All this scheming and how others will have respect for me, that's got nothing to do with Vaishnavism at all. Nothing. If you see that, then you know it's not something wrong. There's all politics and this and that. What can you say to those who are... Their understanding of Vaishnavism is you... or the ISKCON movement is you get in and you get up. Get in, get a post, and then push yourself up. Get ahead, get a career, being recognized, be noticed. And then there'll be all kinds of politics and scheming and nasty dealings. One devotee said to me the other day that I was just really, because he came, anyways, he came with some disciples not very happy with me because he perceives that I'm not very happy with him, which is true. And then I recounted to the devotee who was talking to me some of the things, the reason why I weren't happy, which he was surprised to hear. And then he made the comment that it seems like gurus in the present day, they have to deal more with psychology than philosophy. We're just dealing with how to see this person and adjust them and don't bruise their ego too much or butter up their ego so they go on more psychology than philosophy. So everyone, not everyone, but trying to show yourself humble while trying to show, actually, I'm better than all of you. Our project is the best. Our way of doing things is the best. If we think like that, then we're in a very dangerous position. Everywhere, we see with here in ISKCON India, there are different groups, right? There's the Radhanath group and the Gopal Krishna group and the Jayaprasaka group and the Bhakti Vikas group and all different groups. And everyone thinks our group is the best. And we've got reasons for it too, you see. Our guru is a direct associate of Lord Chaitanya, and our guru is a Manjari who goes to other planets and preaches. I just heard this. And this and that. And our guru is strictly following Prabhupada, therefore we're the best. You may think like that. Be careful. As soon as we think we are the best, must be. I mean, I'm part of this group, so I must be the best. Right? Simple logic. Then we're in trouble. As soon as we think we're doing well, then maya. Nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhare. Krishna bahirmukhaya bhogavanchakari. That's what it comes. I will enjoy thinking I'm the best. Krishna's the best, right? Remember that? We studied Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's the best. Krishna's the best. Prabhupada's the best. Otherwise, even if things are going well, then it's very dangerous. Then maya will smash. Anyway, maya's smashing us all the time. But we're aware of it. But then if we think, now I see everything's going very well, where are we conquered maya? Oh, and maya's just laughing. Ah, just let them go on a little more time. Then I'll smash them. Like the cat is watching the mouse running away, and the mouse thinks, now I'm free. Ah, the cat can't catch me. And the cat is sitting there, watching the mouse run away, and then in one bound catches the mouse again. So I have to be very careful on this. Avaranatmika and Prakshepatmika. The Maya, she sometimes lets us think, now I'm out of the covering of Maya. Oh, really? Kicks you right back. Unless we very careful stick to the lotus feet of Krishna. And for that, what does that mean? Simply following the process of Krishna consciousness given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Real leader, we should follow the real leader. Who's the real leader? Krishna. Who's the leader of the followers of Krishna? Srila Prabhupada. We can follow his example, follow his mood. What did Srila Prabhupada want? So many things. He wanted. He wanted temples, he wanted devotees, he wanted restaurants, he wanted prasad distribution, he wanted festivals, he wanted preaching to scientists, he wanted simple living, high thinking, varnashram farm. So many he wanted. But especially those of you who are in the cities, preaching, leaders, then you have to keep very centrally in your consciousness that Srila Prabhupada's desires for book distribution, there's no doubt Srila Prabhupada emphasized this so much, it's undeniable. Although sometimes he said Gurukul is the most important project, several things he said were most important, and they are all of tremendous importance, but there's no doubt Srila Prabhupada emphasized that, and that's easy to understand, that you can't really be a proper leader in Srila Prabhupada's movement unless you're right behind book distribution. But the same thing about Varnashram, because Prabhupada said 50% of my work. So you can't properly represent Prabhupada's mission unless we understand the importance of these Varnashram projects. There's so many things we have to imbibe the mood of a haituki, a pratyata, chunada, pisu, nichena. So we have to imbibe all these things. And know Prabhupada's desires for book distribution, Prabhupada's desires for Varnashram, and so many things. I'm making this book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. So many things Prabhupada wanted. So these two things we should know. And I don't think that the Varnashram that's irrelevant. I'm in the city and someone else can do that. But actually Prabhupada wanted the two to work together. That each center should have a Varnashram project. And they'd interact with each other. You preach and you send people out to the farm. And those who are strong, they can be in the city and preach. Otherwise, send them to the farm. And then the farm grows vegetables and produces milk products, and that goes to the city for the restaurant. It's all Prabhupada had a great, really. And where did he get the money from the farm? From book distribution. So it's all, Prabhupada had it all laid out, how to do it. But we became one-legged. If you say the two main legs of book distribution and Varnashram, and then we had our own Andha Pangu Nyai. That means in one person, you're blind and lame. It's supposed to be two and they work together. But you're lame because you only have one leg, and you're blind because you don't even know you only have one leg. And you think, yeah, we're doing everything great. We forgot the Varnashram. Another important thing about the farm projects is that we often see, it's a syndrome that repeats itself all the time. Devotees come up, they come forward, they become enthusiastic, they get initiated, and they go on, and after some time, they start to go down. That's the time to send them to the farm, or maybe from the beginning. Farms are needed for that. We become unhappy when we see devotees. We put so much effort into bringing them up. We really cared for them. They've come up, they've done so well, and now they're just reverting back to materialistic life. Aranyam tena gantavyam, farmam api gantavyam. They should go to the farm. And there's not much opportunity to engage in sense gratification at the farm. It's there, in that Ladva Sudurlavan, what's the last name? Vishayakalu Sarvatasyat. If sense gratification is everywhere available, but the temptation for it and the the ability to indulge in it is not so strong. And even if you want to run away, and then there's no vehicle to go in, so you literally have to run. Whereas if you're in the temple, it's quite common that I read in one of the Vyasa Puja offerings last year to Srila Prabhupada that you'd see a devotee, there would be, you'd see a bead bag hanging. They were gone. It's like the gravestone or something. There's only the bead bag is left, and maybe a steel plate with their initials painted on it. They're gone. Again, I'm reading many things connected with the. When Srila Prabhupada says, I see the names of devotees and they're giving their interview to some scholar who interviewed them in the 1970s, and They're so enthusiastic, and we only want to dedicate, this is the, what I've been looking for and never been seen or heard of for years. So send them to the farm. Send the, of course, that's also no guarantee, because even in Vrindavan you can do all kinds of very wrong things. It's possible at the farm. The farm, we have to be very careful also. To keep the atmosphere pure, with different levels of devotees coming in. But I'm just making the point that farm centers and city centers is Prabhupada's formula. We should know that and be into that. The farm communities that, especially the Varnashram, it means we can't expect everyone to be on a very high level, but the Varnashram helps people to come in at some level and be Krishna conscious. So devotees who are practicing on a good high level and something happens, they have a relapse. Okay, you can't be up here. If you can't go up to the highest, then don't fall down to the lowest. These communities are to help keep us. And they'll advance if they're there in association of devotees, doing some service, attending the program, they're going to advance. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.